Our dear eternal Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We bow before thee this day to thank thee for thy bounteous blessings which thou dost shower upon us from day to day. We thank thee for our life, health, and strength. We thank thee for the privilege of living on the earth at this time and being part of this ancestral lineage. We thank thee for the plan of salvation. We thank thee for our president, President Benson, and for all the prophets who have led us in the past. We have assembled here today to pay honor and tribute to one of thy choice select daughters, Della Belknap. We are grateful for the example which she has set for us. She has sacrificed and given her life to serving the living and even the dead. We are grateful for the love of beauty which she experienced. We are grateful for the privilege of knowing that she used her talents and artistic abilities to strengthen others. We know her as a great teacher. We know her as a loving genealogist. We know her as a dear friend and relative. We ask this day, Father, that those who participate in these services will be blessed with inspiration to say those things which will help us gain knowledge and wisdom that we might take into our own lives, that we might learn more of thee. We thank thee for all of our blessings. Help us to be cheerful, happy, joyous. Help us to be mindful of all the beauties around us and of each and the love we have for each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
On behalf of the family of Della Belknap, we welcome all relatives and friends to this funeral service. We'd like to thank Sister Karen Robinson for the lovely prelude music. The family prayer was offered by Gordon L. Belknap, and our invocation was just offered by Lois B. Erickson. Now we'll be pleased to hear a musical selection by Roker Raymond and Carlene Dickamore entitled Each Life That Touches Ours for Good. Following their musical selection, we'll then be pleased to hear from Stephen A. Belknap, and after his remarks, we'll then have another musical selection by Brother Norman Barnum, which he'll sing The Lord is My Shepherd. Following that selection, we'll then hear from Bruce E. Belknap, and we'll proceed to that point.
Thank you. since the passing of Aunt Della last Monday morning, I've been reflecting back over my many, many memories of her, as I'm sure all of you have. And I'm honored this day to share just a few of these with you. My remarks this afternoon are a commitment to a promise I made to Aunt Della when she asked me once to speak at her funeral when this day arrived. She said, "I would like you to speak at my funeral, Stephen. No one knows me better than you do." As her obituary mentioned, she was a loving and caring aunt to numerous nieces and nephews at all important family occasions, whether it was baptisms, missionary farewells and homecomings, weddings or wedding receptions, Aunt Della was there. Even during these past few years in the care center, when Aunt Della wasn't able to attend and a niece or a nephew married, she made sure that they received a special present of one of her handmade ceramics and that they were not forgotten. She had in her mind which piece she wanted to give, and then I would go get it from her home and see that it was delivered. She faithfully wrote her nieces and nephews while on their missions. She enjoyed our letters and tapes to her, and we enjoyed her letters and tapes to us. Along with the news from home, many times these letters and tapes would include inspirational stories and articles that uplifted us all more times than I'm sure she ever knew. Aunt Della loved to do ceramics. She had her own kiln, and samples of her work can be found in homes all over the country. She also loved to travel. She saw Mexico several times and most of the United States. Her home is dotted with all kinds of travel souvenirs, and it is one souvenir in particular that brings back memories for me, as I'm sure that it does for most all of you. The souvenir kept at various times on her TV and her record cabinet was her dish of sand. This is a large ceramic dish filled with fine sand from one of her travels. Many hours were spent arranging and rearranging the little figurines she kept in the sand. I was both blessed and privileged to have had from an early age a close and intimate association with Aunt Della. When I was a young boy, she asked me if I would like to cut her lawn, and through this present day, I am still cutting her lawn. I cut her lawn on Saturdays, and a typical Saturday in those early days consisted of me cutting the grass in the morning, she fixing me a sandwich for lunch, then the afternoon spent working on genealogy books. Aunt Della had a great love for genealogy, and she cultivated that love in me. How I loved to listen to her stories of my various ancestors. People that were just names and dates became Uncle Gil, Aunt Mary, and her cousin Willie O. She would tell me stories of her parents, my great-grandparents, and she made them live for me. Genealogy was her life. She would spend countless hours working on her genealogy books, and one can only estimate the thousands of names on all family lines that she sent in for temple work to be done. Family and heritage were very important to Aunt Della, and because of this, she decided in 1974 to write a book on her mother's family, the Bluth family. No book had been written previously, and this proved to be a tremendous undertaking. But finally, in 1975, with my cousin Susan Erickson Schmidt doing the typing, and Aunt Della and myself doing the proofreading, this book was completed and published. Aunt Della was very proud of this book. Numerous days were spent boxing and shipping books through the post office, and what we didn't mail, we hand-delivered. Several days were spent delivering books to these relatives from Cache Valley through Utah County. It was during these book tours that I became acquainted with many of my Bluth relatives. Aunt Della's mother was an early church convert from Sweden. Not much was known about these early Swedish ancestors, so as a young woman, Aunt Della decided to engage a researcher in Sweden to find out all he could on the Bluth and the connecting families. They corresponded for over 40 years, and this was all done at Aunt Della's expense. She was the genealogist for the entire Belknap family, being released only last August at the Belknap reunion when I was asked to carry on in her place. She loved the stories and histories of her family and was continually offering copies of various items to anyone that was interested, again, all at her own expense. As I mentioned, Aunt Della's life was genealogy. Her name and address are known around the world, and she still gets requests for information and or help on a certain family line, which I've been able to help them with. Aunt Della was a hard worker, and she learned early in life the value of hard work. Very independent, she felt she could do everything herself. Because of this, it became very difficult for Aunt Della to accept that after her stroke, she would have to stay in a care center. She was always such a strong person, and it was hard on her and hard on those of us who loved her to witness the infirmities of old age setting in. Things that were once so simple for her became a struggle. The stroke had left her right hand paralyzed and unable to write. And so with her dictating and me serving as her scribe, we would answer the letters that she would receive, and every December we worked on her Christmas cards. Every Sunday, and sometimes during the week, I was stopping to see her. We really had some wonderful chats, and she was always so grateful for my visits. Even as her memory began to fail and she remembered fewer and fewer people, when I came to visit, she always knew it was me. Many times I would come into her room at the care center, and Aunt Della would say, "Oh, Stephen, have I missed you?" And I'd give her a big hug and say, "I've missed you too. Someday, I will see Aunt Della again, and I'll hear her say, 'Oh, Stephen, have I missed you?' And I'll say, 'Aunt Della, have I missed you too?' Aunt Della is gone, and how she will be missed. But this is not the end. Her legacy is that through her and through our memories, she will live on in each of us. Death is not final. Those to whom we say farewell are welcomed by others. There's a story that I love and I like to share with you. I'm standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength, and I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud where the sea and sky come down to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, "There, she's gone." "Gone where?" "Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large and massed and whole as she was when she left my side, and just as able to bear her load of living weight to the place of destination. Her diminished size is in me, not in her." And just at that moment, when someone at my side said, "There, she's gone," there are other eyes watching her coming, and other voices to take up the glad shout, "There, she's coming." This is how I believe it was with Aunt Della. Family, friends, and literally thousands of people whose names she had seen that temp work was completed for, all were waiting to greet her and to thank her. Last week was Decoration Day, and those of you who visited the Hiram Belknap family plot might have noticed a white glass vase with a single silk rose in it. That was from Aunt Della, who specifically asked that I put it on her mother's grave as a special remembrance from her. In the last few months, prior to Aunt Della's passing, she talked a lot about her mother and of seeing her again. Daughters are often closest to their mothers, and now she and her mother are together. And after sharing her mother with two other sisters during her lifetime, she now has her mother all to herself. And I would like to imagine that they will be having some good old mother-daughter talks. Aunt Della loved flowers, especially roses. Many times just prior to my visits, I would stop by the home and cut a fresh bouquet of flowers to take to her. In fact, last Sunday, I stopped to do just that very thing when I was notified that Aunt Della was ill and asking for me. This was a favorite poem of Aunt Della's, and she gave me a copy of it. A rose once grew where all could see, sheltered beside a garden wall, and as the days passed swiftly by, it spread its branches straight and tall. One day a beam of light shone through a crevice that had opened wide. The rose bent gently toward its warmth, then passed beyond to the other side. Now you who deeply feel its loss, be comforted. The rose blooms there, its beauty even greater now, nurtured by God's own loving care. I am grateful for Aunt Della and grateful for those last years that I was able to spend so closely with her. I will always cherish the memories of those days, and especially of those last hours as I held her hand as she passed peacefully away. She was a wonderful and caring aunt. My wish is that everyone might have an Aunt Della in their lives. How blessed I was to have had one in mine. I shall always remember Aunt Della as my friend. I know that she is now with those she loved, and that she has gone on ahead to prepare a place for the rest of us. This is not the end. Aunt Della goes on as the Aunt Della we all knew and loved. May we all be worthy to see her again, is my humble prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you. I'm honored to have the opportunity of sharing my feelings on this occasion. I'm just kind of a generation removed from Stephen. And I haven't lived in this area for, well, since 1927, really. And having lived in the East for the last 40-odd years, have only been close to the family as we have made visits, telephone calls and letters and etc. But I, too, have been reflecting on the things that have been of value to me. I remember my grandfather Hiram and his wife Anna Bluth. I remember my grandfather as we would visit at 904 21st Street, and he would always have for breakfast cornmeal mush with all kinds of lumps in it. I thought that was always strange. But I grow to love cornmeal mush. And my aunts and uncles were close by, and so I got to see them on occasion. But we were always a family from out of town. I think my dad lived here until 1910 when he went on his mission, and he came home and was sent by his dad to Preston to work in a lumber yard, and then came back and went to medical school and so forth. And so he came back to practice medicine in 1925 to 1927. And in those 2 years, my sister and I were born, and in 1927 we moved to Nevada, never to return to this area as a family. And so I don't know how many times I came across that loose end cutoff, but we were always welcomed as friends and as family. There may have been a lot of things going on in Ogden among the families that I didn't know about and I really didn't care about. I remember coming to the station, getting on the streetcar, coming up the street, getting off in front of 904 and enjoying the experiences of being with the family. Della always saw me and was glad to greet with me. Saw that I got to the airport to see the airplanes, which was then, I think, in Washington Terrace then. Go other places that I wanted to do when I was in town, whatever it was. I remember her going on her mission and coming back. I don't remember the details, except I remember my parents talking about it and talking about it in the family. I remember when grandmother died. I think that was 1931. I think most I remember of that experience was coming to town and go next door, and there was Blaine, and up the street a little ways, and there was Don and Gordon, and then I'd run around the corner and see some of the Uncle High's kids and Conrad Jensen. And then there were some older cousins, and they were great people, but I didn't associate with them necessarily. They weren't my age category. But I learned to appreciate my relatives and the heritage that I had. And lo, these many years we've been separated, it's been a great experience for me to reflect on the kinds of associations that we've had. I remember visiting with Jewel and her husband Glenn before they moved to Idaho. As a little kid, I remember that. I remember Emmett courting Gladys. There are 904. And of course, Gladys came to Nevada and taught school for a while, so I remember very well that part of the family. Byron came and worked on some of the ranches in the summertime. I remember him coming. And of course, those are memories which are fond to me. I have a movie which my dad made of the Belknap family. It's in black and white, but it opens with a scene of Della and Granddad walking down the steps on 904 21st Street. And in that movie, there is also a couple of shots which are now buried by Pine View Dam. Her granddad was pointing to Della as to where the water would be, the things that would change. 1936, my sister passed away, and just a couple of weeks later, Byron came home from his mission, and the whole family was gathered there on the front of the lawn on 904 21st, and all there as Dad went down the aisle, shaking hands with all the members of the family. Well, my dad passed away in Reno. 2 years later, my mother, who was a convert to the church, my dad had met her as she was night superintendent of the nurses in Grand Hospital, where my dad interned in Chicago. She joined the church, a stalwart member forever. When Dad passed away, my mother wanted to come someplace where she could be with her friends and family. She had family in Illinois, but she chose to be with her in-laws. And so on a spot there that was owned by Granddad Belknap, it was the old apple orchard, she built a home and came and moved there close to Jewel, Della, Gladys, and Emmett. And so they were just kind of like, you know, when we would come to town, that's where we would go. And so I have great fond memories of those experiences over the period of time that I've been absent from this particular area. Della visited us in New York, and we gave her a merry chase with our kids. But she enjoyed that. I don't think my kids will even remember that. But I do, because we're always concerned about how kids are noisy, and Della didn't have youngsters, and that's different. And I suspect we both survived. In more recent years, we've been sending kids to BYU, and of course that's happened since 1977 and still continues. And so our interest went from Ogden to Provo when we would come to town. But I don't think there's a time I ever came that I didn't come to Ogden. And the kind of the center focus in the early days of those visits was Della. I'd call up Aunt Della and say, "Aunt Della, I'm in town. I've got the afternoon. Sure would like to visit all relatives that I know and that would know and like to see me or my companion or my family who is with them." Della would make the arrangements and gather together the few people that would meet together. And to me, that was a great experience, and I appreciated that very much. More recently, the focal point on correspondence has been with Jewel. But you know, over the years, we started writing a family letter. And we always made at least two extra copies, one to Jewel, one to Della. And there are some here who read to her the last few years, and those who will continue to read to Jewel and to some of the rest of you. Because, folks, you're my family. And I appreciate that very much. We have an interesting challenge as a family. A lot of us here have been mixed up in family history centers and this sort of thing, but she gathered so much information. And to have the opportunity of working with somebody who doesn't know anything about their family, and they find something, the joy that goes with that. Phyllis and I spend our 2 hours on a Wednesday night in our stake center in Florida as a so-called guides at a family history center. I do very well with a computer and all the rest of the stuff. I have difficulties. But people who come are young people. There's some of us older folks too. But they come in completely neophyte. I've been told you have my family records. And when they find something, of course, it's just great joy. But most times they find that there's just not things there. Della's information needs to get to that thing called a computer, which has no personality. It's friendly on occasion, but is a godsend to people who want to share in the heritage that they have. So we as a family need to be sure that all of the information that she gathered together gets in some way that is made available to the rest of the world. Most may have been taken care of, but I don't live close enough to really know those details. But as I talk about it, I think it's important for us to recognize that's a role we have in terms of being sure that the things that she put together, both on the Belknap side, the Blue side, and all the peripheral lines that she worked with, I think it's so important that we kind of keep that as a responsibility and it's accessible to everyone. I was delighted the other day, it's doing some family record extraction program for seedings which are done in the Idaho Falls Temple in 1964. My job is to put the names in the computer so they can down to the church and put the whole mess together so that all the names of the work that's been done since day one is available to somebody who types the name in a computer and comes up. And there I found the name of Flora Belknap Dotson, a bunch of Meads. And I typed those in, and I know they're related. Now, it's a long way, but she was at the last reunion here we had last summer. And I think, when I think about the magnitude of the information that Della can share with the world, I get goosebumps. And I just appreciate the work that Stephen and his brother Brent and all the rest of you who are involved in kind of see that these things are available to all of us. May I share a few words with you of a perhaps a more spiritual nature? We lived in New York when they opened the World's Fair in 1963 and 64. The church produced a film called Man's Search for Happiness. And I was present at a meeting in the building there when Elder Harold B. Lee said the reason that the church produced that film and made that exhibit that they made at the World's Fair was that people would come in carefree and leave worried. Now that had tremendous impact. My son married a young lady by the name of Debbie Parham, who was here. The Parhams lived in New Jersey. They went to that exhibit. They were touched. They are now serving a mission in Nairobi, Kenya. Just moved to Tanzania. How many times can you multiply that kind of a story? Richie L. Evans was the narrator and perhaps wrote the script. But here's some words from that with some adaptations. Sometimes in our search for happiness, we ponder the meaning of life. We sift our memory for beginnings. We send our mind ahead for directions. But all we really know is now. Who am I? How did I come to be? Time. Where does it take me? Toward death? And then what? Where did I come from? To understand why we are here, we must first understand our beginnings. Please be assured that at birth, a few short years ago, Della did not suddenly flare into existence out of nowhere. She has always lived, and so have you and I. In pre-earth life, she was with our Heavenly Father, and there is a spirit, Della lived until she was ready to come to the earth. And Wordsworth had these kinds of words to say, our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in the entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but treading clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. entering mortal life. The memory of Della's life before birth was blotted out, that she might live by faith and further prepare for the everlasting of life. This mortal body in which her spirit dwelled was subject to pain, to difficulties, and to death. For it is through opposition that she grew in strength and character. She must have known pain to appreciate well-being, difficulties to develop courage, death to understand eternal life. Della, then, like the rest of us, whoever we are related not only to every person upon this earth who lives and who has lived and who yet will live, but to God, the Father of us all, and to His Son, Jesus Christ. With our acceptance of the responsibility of earth life, we were given a wondrous mortal body in the likeness of God. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. Yes, the spirit and the body make up the soul of each of us, and our heritage is so noble that it has possibilities beyond our greatest dreams. Life is worth living. And even in the challenges of a few years of Della's life, last years, she would attest to that. Life gives us two great gifts. One's time. The other is freedom of choice. The freedom to buy what we will, the vain or the valuable. Some things are no bargain. No lasting satisfaction. This life is a second in the scheme of eternal things. So we must walk by faith, prove ourselves able to choose good over evil, right over wrong, enduring happiness over mere amusement, and thus our eternal reward will be according to our choosing. A prophet of God once said, or has said, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. A fullness of life dedicated to service, to love, to harmony in the home, and fruits of honest toil characterizes Della. Well, she found there was a set of instructions. She needed to have her ticket stamped. As one of the characters in the funny paper said the other day about someone who, could he ever come back if they came, would he ever come back if they died? The other character said, if they had their hand stamped. Well, her hand was stamped with the instructions called the gospel, the do's and the don'ts. And they were designed to bring us happiness which doesn't fade with light and music and crowds. Like all of us, she was born and must leave, and that uncertain door that leads ahead for us has been, for mortals, an awesome mystery. Life's greatest test, and life is a test, comes with the death of a loved one. And without faith in the immortality of the soul, a separation of death looms absolutely comfortless. But with faith, we know that Della's body is left behind for the moment. But her spirit is likened to the coming out of a darkened room into the light, into the place of a reawakening and finding loved ones waiting to welcome her. And I, too, with Stephen, share with the fact that she's with loved ones, with a grand reunion, anticipating the work that we might do to have that similar experience. And so here we are. No memory of what went before, only faith to wish for what comes. Devil knows answers we don't know. But we do know it's a great everlasting plan. And we aren't here by accident. It's one which we wanted to have, the experience of being away from home. Yes, the resurrection. The reuniting of the body and the spirit will come to Della and to all of us as a gift to everyone through Christ. But exaltation we must earn. We feel confidence in the things that she has done. It's the Lord's way. Della was invited to explore it. She tested it. She found it good. She leaves her legacy and her memories and her witnesses of these principles. And so, as we have a memorial service, as we recognize the contribution that one of our family has been called home, we give recognition and appreciation for the contribution for our lives. And for those here who've had anything to do with Aunt Della and her care over the years, from me who was afar off, I express my appreciation today. What I've been trying to say in philosophy is a heritage we shared for our ancestors who came to this country many years ago. And as I think about us as being members of families, and for the gospel plan, it's kind of summarized in me in three kind of statements. We're children, brothers and sisters of a loving Heavenly Father, whose greatest desire is for us to be happy while we're here and to come home and live with Him when it's over. The purpose of life is to learn and to progress through experiences. We come to know that Jesus is the Christ. We have little understanding of what the atonement really means. But we know that it's effective in our lives. And there's some rules we need to live by. We call them commandments. And as we follow the Savior, we can again return home together with all the members of our family forever. To me, in simple terms, that's the meaning of the gospel of Christ. And the things which Della emulated in terms of the things which are important to her, for which we share. I'm grateful for knowing her and for the rest of my family, sons and daughters I have here. But I have more than sons and daughters, literally. I have you all. May the Lord bless us to us, understand and appreciate the contribution we make to each other in all the things we do, as we ask the blessings of the Lord upon all of us in understanding the great experience of life. And I do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Grateful for the remarks which have been shared so far by Stephen and Bruce, as well as the beautiful music. I too am grateful and proud of the heritage which I come from, and it never ceases to amaze me when someone passes away, especially when it's someone we know that we think about the meaning of life, why we're here, where we're going. Hopefully it'll be a good place depending upon how we live. Days like today, I'm glad it's not any warmer than it is, because that's my motivation to do well in life, is that I can't take the heat. I just have a few remarks I'd like to share in these last closing minutes, and they're taken from the words of some of the people that hopefully we sustain as prophets, seers, and revelators. Elder Bruce R. McConkley exclaimed, "Spiritual and temporal death enter the world because Adam fell. The effects of Adam's fall pass upon all mankind. That is, all are mortal and all die temporally. Properly understood, it becomes apparent that the fall of Adam is one of the greatest blessings ever given to God, to mankind. It is the way and the means whereby the spirit children of our Father go forth from their celestial home to gain mortal and then immortal bodies. And it provides the way for the experiences, tests, and trials that prepare the faithful for eternal life. Salvation, meaning eternal life, is reserved for the faithful. It is offered to all men in all ages on the same terms and conditions. Both immortality and eternal life come because of the atonement. Immortality is for all men, both the righteous and the wicked. Eternal life is for those who believe and obey the whole law of the gospel. The entire purpose of the plan of salvation is to provide immortality and to make eternal life available for all those who overcome the world and qualify for exaltation. President Joseph Fielding Smith said, "The object of our earthly existence is that we may have a fullness of joy and that we may become the sons and daughters of God in the fullest sense of the word, being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to be kings and priests unto God, to inherit glory, dominion, exaltation, thrones, and every power and attribute developed and possessed by our Heavenly Father. This is the object of our being on this earth. In order to obtain this exalted position, it is necessary that we go through this mortal experience or probation, by which we may prove ourselves worthy through the aid of our elder brother, Jesus Christ." Elder Neil A. Maxwell once said, "Mortality involves teeth to be brushed, beds to be made, cars to be repaired, diapers to be changed, groceries to be bought, such an endless array of mundane matters. In the midst of these, however, is the real business of living, a friendship to be formed, a marriage to be mended, a child to be encouraged, a truth to be driven home, an apology to be made, a Christian attitude to be further developed." President Spencer W. Kimball said, "We knew before we were born that we were coming to earth for bodies and experiences that would have, and that we would have joys and sorrows, ease and pain, comforts and hardships, health and sickness, successes and disappointments. We knew also that after a period of life we would die. We accepted both the favorable and the unfavorable. We eagerly accepted the chance to come earthward, even though it might be only for a day or for a year. Perhaps we were not so much concerned if we would, how we would die, of disease, of accident, or of senility. We were willing to take life as it came, and as we might organize and control it, and this without murmur, complaint, or unreasonable demands. Everyone must die. Death is part of life. Of course, we are never quite ready for the change, not knowing when it should come. We properly fight to maintain our life. Yet we ought not to be afraid of death. We pray for the sick. We administer to the afflicted. We implore the Lord to heal and reduce pain and to save life and postpone death, but not because eternity is so frightful." President Kimball went on to say that God controls our lives and He blesses us, but He gives us our agency. We may live our lives in accordance with His plan for us, or we may foolishly shorten or terminate them. He says, "I'm positive in my mind that the Lord has planned our destiny. Sometime we'll understand fully, and when we see back from the vantage point of the future, we shall be satisfied with the many happenings of this life that are so difficult for us to understand." During my college days, early church history fascinated me, and on one occasion I had the chance to write a paper on the experiences of some of my distant relatives. When it came time for sources, I couldn't think of anyone better than Aunt Della. I spent a couple of visits going over some material on Gilbert Belknap and Vincent Knight. She taught me a great deal on the roles they performed in the early days of the history of the church. It fascinated me to learn what she knew and to go through the material that she had. I look at that as a form of service. It is through the service of men and women boys and girls that God's work is done. President Spencer W. Kimball explained, God does notice us and he watches over us, but it's usually through another person that he meets our needs. Some of us ask God to bless suffering people and then do nothing for them. We must remember that God works through us. King Benjamin in the Book of Mormon said why he loved service. He stated, when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. And if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then ought ye not to labor to serve one another. In my opinion, one of the greatest callings there is in the church today is that of a Relief Society president. I've had the opportunity to serve with three different sisters in the 44th Ward who have had that calling. When I think of what these sisters do in the work of the Relief Society program, I am grateful that Aunt Della was willing to serve in an organization that is full of compassionate service, as she served as Relief Society president of the 44th Ward. Elder George Q. Morris said, so this earth life is set up according to true principles. The conditions that follow the fall of Adam and Eve were not penalties that were inflicted upon us. These seemingly inflictions of punishment, sorrow, and trouble are in the end blessings. We have attained a knowledge of good and evil and the powers to become agents unto ourselves and to obtain redemption and eternal life. And though the Lord condemns us to mortal death, it is one of the greatest blessings that comes to each of us here, because it is the doorway to immortality, and we can never attain immortality without dying. On one occasion, Elder Ezra Taft Benson exclaimed, when a person's life is completed, it is not how much they have made, how many of the honors of man they have attained, or personal attainments acquired that reveal the nobility of the person. It is rather, were they faithful to God, to their callings, to the church? Did they love and serve their fellow man? And were they loyal to their family? Life does not end with death. As our mortal life is a place of temporary duration, so is the spirit world. The time is not far distant when the righteous in the world of spirits will come forth in the glorious morning of the first resurrection, clothed with honor, glory, and priesthood power. Yes, life is eternal. We live on and on after earth life, even though we oftentimes lose sight of that great truth. I am grateful for this opportunity that I have had to take part in this memorial funeral service for Della Belknap. And I like to bear testimony to those who are present that the things which she believed are true, because I believe them as well. That God does live and that Jesus Christ is his son. Through the restoration of the gospel, we have all the truth necessary for us to return to his presence. It just becomes our responsibility to live up to that truth and those ordinances so that we can be prepared. And these I leave with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll now have a musical selection, a duet by Roker Raymond and Carlene Dickamore, in which they will sing Abide With Me. They'll be accompanied by Karen Robinson. The conclusion of their remarks, our benediction, will then be offered by N. Blaine Belknap. The dedication of the grave will be by Donald E. Belknap, and the interment will be at the Ogden City Cemetery. The conclusion of the service, we ask those who will be asked to serve as pallbearers, Mark Belknap, Brian Belknap, David Erickson, David Belknap, James Schmidt, and Stephen Burton, to please come forward. Again, on behalf of the family, we appreciate those that have taken the time to come to this funeral service. And now I just will make the public announcement for those family and friends at the conclusion of the internment at the Ogden City Cemetery. The Relief Society Sisters of the 44th Ward have provided a meal back at the at the 44th Ward, which is on 33rd Street in Jackson, where the family can come and take part and reminisce on old times and see how much people have changed and things like that. Again, I'm grateful to have this opportunity to serve, and now we'll have our musical selection.
Our Father, who art in heaven, as family, friends, and acquaintances of thy daughter, Della Belknap, we thank thee that we had the opportunity to get together in this meeting to pay homage and honor to her life. Those of us whose lives were entwined with hers know of her basic goodness. We're thankful for those who spoke today for bringing back Aunt Della in a vibrant, meaningful way, to inspire us to continue to strive to do good and to try to improve upon ourselves. We pray that as we reflect back upon this occasion, those kinds of thoughts will come to mind, and that thy spirit shall be with us. And these things we say in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.